In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Dear saints, if there's one verse that encapsulates everything that is included in the gospel message, it is Luke chapter 2, verse 19, a little bit before the gospel reading that we have, and it goes like this. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Today, dear saints, we are invited to treasure. To treasure the things that Mary treasured, and to ponder the things that Mary ponders. I really love all of the banners that my wife makes, truly all of them. But this one, I especially love. This one is Mary, kneeling both at the manger of her child and at the cross of her child. And it's perhaps the best Christmas verse that we have, but it's not in Luke chapter 2. It's not in the beginning of the Gospels. It is, in fact, near one of the end of one of the Gospels, John chapter 18. For this purpose I came. For this purpose I was born. These are the sorts of things that Mary is thinking about that night. She's got a lot to think about. She had a birth outdoors. Now, births in general are pretty memorable. But a birth outdoors would take the cake. She would have to ponder the things that the shepherds told her, claiming they had been sent by an angel to see their child. She would have the knowledge that the very son in which she had just been born came without knowing a man. Now, those are all joyous things. And she had quite a bit of things that weren't so joyous as well. She would have to bear the shame and bear the hardship of Joseph, her beloved, thinking that she had cheated on him for a little while. You know how hard it is when someone in your life that you trust, that you love the most, doesn't trust you. She had to bear that. She would have to bear the shame of all the wagging tongues of Nazareth. Now we call her the Virgin Mary with high honor. If anyone would ever call her the Virgin Mary during the time of Nazareth, it was with mocking terms. She would have to bear the shame, and this is the most important one. She would bear the shame of the birth that she had just given. She would look at that baby and she would say, "This child came to die. And he shouldn't. He shouldn't have to die. Every child that you bear in your arms, I think you think that a little bit. This innocence, this beauty, this gift that your God had given to you, this child should not have to die. And above all children, this child should not have to die. This child is innocent. This child does not sin. He will not sin. He should not have to die, but he does. He does for his mother. And he does for you. And for Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth and all of the shepherds. If he does not die, then we do. In our sin, eternally judged. He dies for Mary's joy and for your joy as well. But as joy so often is in this world, it is a joy that is tempered by sadness. Mary ponders all these things in her heart. She treasures them. Things are not as they should be for her. She really should have had a better place to lay her child than a manger. She shouldn't have had to give birth outdoors. She has joy, but it is joy that is tempered by living in this world, by living in her sin, by living in a curse. And this is how it is for you, dear saints. You have joy. You do. Your Jesus has given it to you. You are forgiven in him. There is no one to accuse you. The devil has nothing to say about you. You are holy. You are righteous. You are innocent in your Jesus. He has given you life and peace and salvation and comfort that no one can take from you. You rose to life out of the watery grave of your baptism with God's name, access to him. You have joy. No one can stand against you because your Jesus is standing for you. But you still hurt. There are many swords that pierce your soul in this life. Some of us, some of you have children that do not honor you as they should. They have grown in ways that you do not approve. Some of you have supervisors who abuse you, co-workers that abuse you. Some of you have neighbors who forget about you. We are in this place of worship, and so often the church, the worldwide church, the body of Christ, goes in ways of money and the ways of prestige and the ways of men instead of following the very pure word of God. We have a government that is full of self-serving bureaucrats. We live in cities that are full of violence, with rivers that are full of garbage and skies that are full of smoke. We live in a world with cancer and with war and with poverty. With these things on our mind, our Christmases don't always measure up to the Hallmark standards, the warm fuzzies that we have, if we ever have them so often, too quickly, roll away like credits on a big screen. There is something that is wrong in this world. And there always will be. Whether it is big or whether it is little, there is someone who is going to be missing. There is someone who's going to be mad. There's someone who's going to be alone. Mary lives with this knowledge, even at the birth of her son. She lives with this knowledge that she is destined to outlive him. And that is a weight that is so hard to bear. She is destined to outlive her own husband as well. This Christmas time, dear saints, the message from the church needs to be loud and clear that your God did not send his son to give you warm fuzzies inside. He came to redeem you, to free you. And in order to do that, he became part of this broken world. In order to do that, it would require him hurt and pain and blood and all sorts of raw suffering. Jesus had a messy mission to do, and Mary would be a part of that mission. And so are you. As she carried her son around, she would do what all pregnant women do and put her hand on her belly and wonder what sort of child she really would have. Those hands would be bowed down as the hands of her son would be strung up upon a cross. The tears that she would cry while she was giving birth would be quite different tears that she would be crying at the death of her own son. Every nail, every whip, every thorn that was pierced into his brow, they were all a part of the sword that would pierce Mary's soul. And they pierce ours as well. Because this is all. This all happens because of the rejection of Jesus. And Mary knew that. And you know that. So many of your friends and so many of your family reject. And that is hard. There is something that is wrong in this world. But Jesus is also part of this world. And he's the most important part. He is the constant. He is the sun that never sets. He is the joy that never fades. In Christ, for Mary and for you, in Christ, you are saved from sin and hell, but in a sense, it's more than that. We are saved as we live each day, as we step each step, as we take each breath, whether it's in pain or in joy. Every moment that we have in this life is full of Jesus. He is there for you. He is here for you to comfort you and to forgive you. Everywhere that Mary went, she carried Jesus with her, and you have the same promise. He is with you, and he is part of this life, the most important part. You have that promise. So when swords pierce your heart, he is there to heal you with his life-giving wounds. For every one of you, each and every one of you, is more precious to him than life itself. For this purpose, he came. He came so that when he went back, he would have you. And you have him. That, dear saints, is Christmas joy. And unlike Christmas happiness, it sticks around. You have your joy. You have your Jesus. Because your Jesus has you. Amen. Amen.